Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have you here on this Monday. Welcome to The Rebellion. Good to see all of you. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I'm in a good mood. We've got a jam-packed show for you on this Monday. Tons of news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about the latest President Biden going down to the border, which is just a number of people calling it a dog and pony show. But we'll show you the fallout, the latest on that, and what President Biden actually got to see at the southern border for the first time in his 50-year political career.
And how is Dr. Fauci using his retirement from his position, which he retired from about a month and a half ago? Well, he's making the rounds still. Is this because we are about to get a new round of Twitter files? I personally like to start my week off with some Twitter files, like a good five-mile run.
Every week?
I don't know what to do. They just released
some earlier today.
Yeah.
So, okay, well then, we don't have it in today's show. We will get to that tomorrow, because it's kind of like, you know, taking a multivitamin. Yeah. I need my Twitter files.
Well, they're calling for are we going to see the Brazil files? Will we see? But yeah, so Dr. Fauci is back, and you know, he was in retirement for about a week, but he's back, baby, preemptive. So we'll show you about that. We're also going to look at the IRS, you know, because the IRS, they're getting like what, their 86,000 new IRS agents. So we've been warning on the show that those IRS agents aren't going to go after wealthy people. No, no, no. Who are they going to go after? They're going to go after poor, middle class, anyone who makes a deposit more than $600. Well, now we have the data. We have the data on these, on who the IRS specifically targets, and I'm sure it will surprise you. So we'll tell you about that.
Plus, we are going to tell you about new data out of Australia and how it relates to people who get vaccinated as it relates to their risk of contracting COVID. That's all we'll say while we are currently on both platforms. That story will move over to Rumble as we get to the end of the show. You know the deal, but we'll walk you through it. Don't worry, we're not just going to ditch you.
That's right. So we've got all of that. Plus, we're going to be talking about, you know, the transgender population. If you watch the mainstream media, you think, wow, transgender, it must be like every person you walk into as you walk through the mall, at the grocery store, everyone must be transgender now, right? Like, because that's how the media tells you. But wait until you hear the population numbers on all of this.
This is the first time that an official census has been conducted. We're going to talk about the sample size and the total population size, the big N.
So buckle your seatbelts, wake up grandma, put on some pants. It's time, because Redacted starts right now. Welcome, everybody. I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Welcome to the big show. This is Redacted. If you're new here, please consider subscribing. What we do on this show is try to cover the stories the mainstream media will not cover, or we try to cut through the propaganda. We spent many years as mainstream media journalists. I was a news anchor for about, I don't know, 19, 20 years. Spent the last 10 years at Fox News Channel, and then retired to be able to go out on our own and start our own company. Natalie was a newspaper reporter and also a news anchor for one of the major networks, and we're married. So
we are not brother and sister,
no,
which somebody posits in the chat like every 5 minutes.
They're like, oh, they're a cute brother and sister.
Right.
Like, we're not brother and sister.
We are not. If you were to see us stand up, you would know that, because we're a full foot apart. But I guess maybe once you've been married for a certain amount of time, you just start to look like each other and the dog, you know,
you don't want to look like, tropes. You don't want to look like me. Please don't start looking like me.
I think people just assume that the mouths that pretty come from the same family.
Stop it.
Shut up right now. Shut up right now.
This became this comment that we got about how we had good looking mouths and David won't let it go. It's one of those things where we can't live it down.
I know. It's like a deliverance thing, like a West Virginia deliverance thing. I don't know. Someone's like, yeah, they have pretty mouths. Like, what the hell? Don't ever say that to me again. I don't want to hear that crap.
But thank you.
Thank you for that. Hey, we do have a daily newsletter, which, again, it's taking the world by storm. Like, I was today at the mall, I was doing a little shopping, and I was walking around, and you know how, like, the senior citizens will do the mall walking in the mornings, like, they yeah. walk, and a whole bunch of senior citizens were all talking about the redacted newsletter, and I caught up to them on my mall walk, and I was, like, catching up. I'm like, are you guys talking about the redacted newsletter that you find by going to redacted.inc? And they said, yeah, we are. That's how we start our morning before our mall walk.
You know what that sounds
like? Wait until VR glasses become more popular.
It sounds like in the Muppets Take Manhattan, where there's a whisper campaign where they put Kermit the Frog under the tables in like popular restaurants. And they just whisper things that they want people to talk about. It's like that new Broadway show.
Yeah.
It's the Kermit Whisper the newsletter. Campaign.
So if you go to redacted.inc, you please sign up. It's totally free. You put in your email address, you'll receive a great newsletter first thing in the morning. And then you too can just be like the senior citizens at the mall and you'll be in the know. You can hang out with them. You'll say, I read it the first thing in the morning, 5 or 6 great stories where you can be more informed first thing in the morning. Again, redacted.inc is how you can sign up and subscribe. All right, we've got a lot of news to get to here on your Monday. So if you do subscribe to the channel while we're watching live, your name will pop up right here on the big board and you can welcome to the rebellion. So any new rebels that join can join right here and your name will pop up here. So,
all right, you know how this works now. Ready?
That's right. Let's get into it. So President Biden finally visits the southern border. Now, I've traveled a lot, right? You think being a politician, a senator, a vice president, like you would have at least some point in your career traveled to the southern border or been nearby. No, he hasn't. In 50 years in public service, he's never been there. He's never wanted to visit. So his first time in 50 years of political career. We'll show you this whole charade, this whole dog and pony show in just a second.
Well, in 2001, Jen Psaki said he was near there.
He drove by it. Okay, really?
So show that's me. The same.
Really?
He was in Arizona not too long ago, and I think you can see the border from there, can't you? Kind of, like if you look, you can see the mountains.
I think if you saw the mountains or something, you could see it. Anyway, So anyway, we'll get to the whole dog and pony show charade here in just a second. But there is a myth I want to tell you about. It's called the Potemkin Village. It dates back to Catherine the Great. Her time in Russia, there is Catherine the Great. The Empress was going to visit Crimea and other cities at the time. The legend goes that the Prince Potemkin freaked out because it was such a hastily called trip. That he sprung into action and he had fake villages created, fake houses, fake churches, like a Hollywood set, you know, like beautiful homes.
The Three Amigos.
Exactly.
Yes,
like this, like what you're looking at here on your screen. Like the, like, oh, you drive by it. Man, that looks like a great little city, right? I'm not going to see. So this is like a Potemkin village, like a Hollywood set, right? That's the idea behind it. Now, so that when Catherine the Great drove by on her carriage horse, she would marvel at the beauty of those cities at the time. And look at that giant carriage, by the way. Imagine those horses having to pull that thing, like a house, like pulling a house on a sled.
Like, I was going to say, that's like a mobile home.
Right.
Yeah.
are those guys sitting on those horses too?
They're on the sled legs, I guess. There's some people on the horses too. That's how the legend of the Potemkin village from Prince Potemkin, that was how that was born. It didn't actually happen, though. It's been debunked. Prince Potemkin did spend a boatload of money to beautify cities, decorate with flowers and other things like that, fresh coat of paint on different areas to try to impress her. And she was impressed. Well, Potemkin village is exactly what President Biden just got to see upon his arrival in El Paso, Texas. So reports were from a number of members of the Border Patrol that they were cleaning up mass migrant camps ahead of the visit by President Biden. All these streets where there were all these camps cleaned up before his arrival, officials went around, kicked out illegal immigrants, which is arguably what they should have been doing from the beginning.
Well, they didn't have a lot of time either, because we couldn't even confirm this trip until the end of last week.
So they were rushing around.
So this is a lot of people who were moved in a short period of time. My question is, to where, under what conditions?
Well, hundreds of them were already sent to Mexico. So, okay, wait a minute. So the president's arriving, and then they took over 200. We at least have one report of over 200 shipped out, rounded up by the Border Patrol and sent back to Mexico because the president was coming. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't see you being able to move 200 people quickly and efficiently in a nice way.
No. And of course, a lot of this stuff was just picked up, thrown out, like all their belongings picked up, cleaned up, thrown out, power washed down, you know, nothing to see here. Even local news found out about his schedule and then reported that the president was skipping areas where immigration or where immigrants were sleeping on the streets, illegal immigrants were sleeping on the streets. So the roadmap basically was set to avoid all of those areas. He don't want to see that. Watch.
All of these locations are on the itinerary that we received from the White House. Didn't look like he was going to be headed to downtown El Paso, which is where we had seen many of the migrants who had been living on the streets of Segundo Barrio.
Yeah, so they weren't even going to go by those areas. The clock started ticking, though, the moment he landed in El Paso. He stopped in El Paso for about 3 hours, a really short period of time. Governor Abbott then met with him at the airport and handed him a letter. So here he was meeting Governor Greg Abbott at the airport, and then he pulls out a piece of paper and serves him with papers. Here are your papers, Mr. President. I want you to read this, and you know, I'll look at it a little bit later. I'll look at it a little bit later. So what did it say? Well, it was actually a long letter. Here, Governor Abbott explains exactly what he handed to the president. Listen.
So, listen. The president who caused the chaos of the border needed to be here. It just so happens he's 2 years and about $20 billion too late. He needs to step up and take swift action, including reimbursing the state of Texas for the money that we spent, but providing more resources for the federal government to do its job. Also, this is nothing but for show unless it begins to enforce the immigration laws already that exist in the United States of America that are contained in the letter that are provided to the president today.
What did he say to you? What did the president say to you?
He said he wanted to work with us on it.
So he was pretty cordial.
So what did the letter actually say? So here we have a copy of the letter that he handed to the president. Your visit to the southern border with Mexico today is $20 billion too little and 2 years too late. And that's a good way to start a letter. Mm-hmm. Moreover, your visit avoids the sites where mass illegal immigration occurs and sidesteps the thousands of angry Texas property owners whose lives have been destroyed by your border policies. Even the city you visit has been sanitized of the migrant camps which had overrun downtown El Paso because your administration wants to shield you from the chaos that Texans experience on a daily basis. The chaos is the direct result of your failure to enforce the immigration laws that Congress enacted. So Biden walked around, did a whole little dog and pony show. He met with law enforcement for a few hours, checked out points of entry. Border guards showed around the president, showed how they were searching vehicles. They set him up on a fenced off parking area, on a parking lot. They showed a pretend version of what they do. Watch this. So this is amazing. Listen to CNN describe it as a show and tell operation, like my first grader might do in school. Watch this. This is all fake.
Of the president there, it looks like he's getting a little bit of a show and tell there from border officials. They appear to be demonstrating what looks like, you know, a typical search of a car that might come across the border, and what law enforcement officials are doing there to keep the flow of drugs coming into this country from Mexico to a bare minimum. And so the president, they're doing that. Let's turn now for some perspective on this. Join me now, Democratic strategist James Carville, a former Republican.
I mean,
oh, and then you take the suitcase out there. That's good. Yeah. And then you walk around with the dog. I mean, they did choose a very likable breed, you know, and so everybody likes a golden lab.
But this is the kind of garbage, but like a dog and pony show, like he's getting a little show and tell. So we've totally sanitized everything here for the president. So he's not going to actually see what actually unfolded. He's not going to a lot of the different points of entry where illegal immigrants are coming across the border.
Yeah.
He went to a parking lot and had a fenced in experience.
Who built that fence?
Trump.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I mean,
well, that was a separate section, but then he also had
that he said he would tear down right away.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cool. Any mention of that?
No mention of that.
Okay.
But of course, this has all been planned, right? I mean, this is the joke is the reason he hasn't been there in 50 years is because, well, this has been part of the plan while he was vice president and beyond. I mean, this is all part of the immigration plan to flood the United States with, you know, millions of illegal immigrants.
If you're a Border Patrol agent, though, like so the Border Patrol is trying to get him access and everything as quickly as possible and efficiently as possible. If they're actually needing the money and everything, then why would they be complicit with hiding everything? Like, are there some border agents that are pro Biden that are willing to hide things and some that aren't? Is there a battle there? Or like, why were they so complicit with hiding it if they need funds and they need things?
I would love to know who did the sanitizing, the cleaning. Like, I don't know that that's the Border Patrol, you know, the CBP.
Or the state of Texas, because it doesn't seem like Greg Abbott would have authorized the funds out of state coffers to do this.
To go and sanitize and like, we got it.
And then, accuse the administration of doing it.
Right.
I mean, I'm giving him a lot of credit, but at the same time, I don't, you know, why write a scathing letter about how you didn't see things? It was all cleaned up by your administration. If he did
it. So it seems as though the feds come in and sweep the area and set the agenda of here, this is what's going to happen. And you better look good on camera or you're out of here or something. Cause I just can't see them complying with everything as bad as they're saying it is down there.
There's no way. I mean, right. He didn't go. Yeah. Like, can you imagine the president walking along the street next to just people sleeping on the street? Like, that's not a visual that the White House is ever going to want. Right. Nor are they going to send him to one of those facilities that are overrun. Right. We saw the Congressman Tony Gonzalez shared when he went into the processing centers where they had thousands of people just sleeping on the floor and the disaster that unfolded there. Like, they're not going to send the president there. They're not going to have any optics where he's next to an illegal immigrant. None of the optics, none of the visuals,
but
none of the cameras were there.
From a security standpoint, there is no way to secure something like that when there are like mounds of sleeping bags. You can't.
Why they kept him. I mean, that's again why this is just a joke, right? Because, you know, they keep him in this fenced in parking lot. So he goes to like one of the law enforcement centers and he's in a parking lot doing a little dog routine in the trunk of a car. Like, that's, I'm at the border. No, you're not. Maybe you should go where the actual problems are and you can actually see the points of entry. President Trump was slammed, mocked, mercilessly by the left for going down the border all the time. Mm-hmm. And he would go along the border. He would meet with property owners and stuff. So whatever you think about Trump, he was down there a lot.
Yes.
And was constantly meeting with different border at points of entry, talking to the Border Patrol about how they're getting across and trying to really understand all of that.
If the Democrats want to present themselves as sort of the party of compassion and that we're not afraid of, immigrants, we think that everyone is beautiful, then talk to them. Show us that then. Go ahead, David.
It reminds me of like A Few Good Men. You remember when Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, like there's people on the other side of that wall that want to take a shot at me or whatever. Like, so he's standing at the fence. There's got to be, a danger of people. There's no security around him at that point. So I wonder if they had to go into Mexico and secure that whole area too, or if this was all staged, because they're going to have the president of the United States standing at a border wall with no protection on the other side.
The whole thing is none
of it makes sense.
Well, and that's the thing about the whole, any of these, and I've covered the presidential events where I've been there and they do the sweep like 2 weeks ahead of time and they come back, they're doing it hours ahead of time, days ahead of time.
Yeah.
They have people up on the building, snipers everywhere. Like, this isn't like a hastily called thing. The fact that they had the map mapped out, that the governor even knew the direction and cities he was going, again, just all a charade. But again,
well, that's why, like, my point is, like, CNN, you know that they've been responsible for doing fake coverage. It's like my brain goes to, they probably built that little fence area in the middle of the desert in a surrounded area, protected area, and there weren't even Border Patrol agents, because I just don't understand how Border Patrol agents wouldn't be trying to get the funding and things that they need and be more adamant about that stuff. It just, none of it makes sense. It just seems like a PR stunt is 100% all it is.
Well, we heard from another Border Patrol agent who said, like, you know, it's just demoralizing. Like, it's just demoralizing. That, yes. You know. So anyway, President Biden has, before he was president, has for years wanted a flood of illegal immigration. Like, this is part of the plan. So do you think anything's going to change? The president has told us about this repeatedly. Listen.
An unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Yeah, it's a source of our strength. So, you know, Brazil Bush in the chat, or Luke, someone that's in the chat in on Rumble says it's a green screen.
Yeah, a few people are saying that.
Yeah, like Zelensky's.
I mean,
stuff.
It's a playbook right out of Pyongyang. You know, it's like such a North Korean thing to do. Like, oh, somebody important is visiting. Let's hide everything. You know, get some paid actors to walk around, pretend to be working, and. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, it's amazing. If you were president of the United States, would you be that unaware? Like, are you that tapped out where you don't even read?
I mean, when you
like
have dementia,
newspaper?
I think you're slightly more tapped out.
Yeah. I guess it's easier to keep you, like, keep baby in a corner when you have dementia like Biden does. But you'd think, like, do you read the newspapers at all? You know that this is a disaster? I mean, I would yell at my staff, like, no, I want to see what's actually going on there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and think about it. We don't know. Like, it could be a thing where the president is handed a specific newspaper. He gets certain information. Like, they can completely keep him in the dark as much as they want. Like, controlling what's on the TVs, only access to certain channels. Like, we don't know the level of control they have over these people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll be continuing to watch this to see with the disaster. I mean, again, the estimates are 2 million so far have already under Biden's watch already poured across the border, and this is all part of the plan. How many millions more this year will, you know? And you know, you have Secretary Mayorkas saying, "Hey, you know, with Title 42 or not, the border is closed. The border is closed." Okay. Well, we've got more news to get to. Let's talk about this story. Let's talk about Fauci. So one day before President Trump took office, Dr. Fauci gave a speech warning all of us that Trump would have to deal with a cataclysmic pandemic. This was the day before Trump was sworn into office. He was warning us that the greatest crime in world history was about to happen. We should have been paying attention, but we weren't. Watch.
Is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
Oh, there will be a surprise.
Surprise.
There will be a surprise
outbreak. He's not like saying some data shows that this is possible. Some data concludes that we may see this. It seems highly likely. No, he says will.
And you see it in his face, like, you know, that's a guy that knows, like, this is about to happen, right? He's like convicted, like, this will happen.
Yeah,
this is
talking
going to happen.
Confidently.
So he knew what was about to come, right? After all the funding that he provided in Wuhan, like, he knew about all of this. He tried to cover it up, lie about it, lied to Congress about it, if you remember this.
I don't know how many times I can say it, Madam Chair. We did not fund gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Oh, yeah. That was a lie, right? Because when we walked it back, we knew exactly what happened. He did. There was funding of that and had to walk that back. Well, Twitter is about to drop the Fauci files, right? And that's why the mainstream media is helping to mount a Fauci charm offensive. Look, he's been retired for a week. His last day on the office was what? December 30th, right? December 30th was his last day. So he's been gone for six, 7 days, and he's already back on television. He's already back. CBS drags him out to do a whole big interview with him ahead of the release of the Fauci files. And the whole thing was like a tee up for him to make him look good, help him out as much as possible. Fauci is out trying to discredit the Fauci files before they're even released. So here he is answering, like, what does Elon Musk have on you on CBS? Watch.
Another headline I saw this week. Elon Musk says he'll release Fauci files on Twitter this week. That story published January 3rd. We are recording this. Let me double check my watch. January 5th. What are your concerns, if any, about the Fauci files on Twitter?
Well, A, no concerns. And B, I have no idea what he's talking about. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation, conspiracy theories, disinformation going on
and
out there.
And of course, Musk also said that you should be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's talking about there?
I don't have, Major, I don't have a clue of what he's talking about.
Well, as near as I can tell, Dr. Fauci, it is about the idea that the National Institutes of Health funded gain-of-function research, some of that at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and that, some believe, is responsible for... Right. COVID.
Well, if you look at the, first of all, collaborative research internationally has been something that has been extremely beneficial to society in general. The reason a very small grant, about $120,000 a year, was given to the Chinese, which as a matter of fact, resulted in research that was...
Oh, but I thought you just told us in front of Congress that that there was no funding. There was no funding at all. So you have no idea at all what Elon Musk might have in the Fauci files? We don't know. We're getting a teaser of what the Fauci files could portend just now in the latest batch of Twitter files just released about an hour ago from Alex Berenson. Now, you remember Alex Berenson, who was a vehement, like, outspoken against what was unfolding with COVID, was banned from Twitter under the previous regime. He's back. He's got his first new Twitter files report out now.
And specifically, it's about how Pfizer was lobbying in the same style as the White House to suppress information about the mRNA shot.
Right.
We will go over it in depth because it launched too close to the start of this show. But if this is anything like, you know, it does not mention Fauci. It does not mention the Fauci's Institute of Health. So we don't know if this is it or if there's more to come.
Yeah, it does mention Dr. Scott Gottlieb does. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I tweeted out that Dr. Fauci was 100% correct with what he was saying in that about the disinformation. The only thing is he's saying the wrong side is responsible for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very smug in the way he sort of shrugs it off. Like, I don't know. I did nothing wrong. I've never said anything that was offensive ever. He certainly lacks humility considering what the entire planet has gone through.
Right.
Well, I don't think science can be humble. You know what I mean? I think it's impossible for science to be humble because he is science.
He is
right.
Science.
Okay.
Well, watch this. So here is Major Garrett tees up a question for him on myocarditis. So this, you know, again, he lays this out here for him, like on a silver platter. I want to play this and get your guys' thought on it. Watch.
And in some of these instances, as you well know, Dr. Fauci, there is some shred of evidence myocarditis was related to vaccines. It is a heart issue. I'm not a doctor. You are. That's a shred of evidence.
A very small shred, right.
And explain how then this can get conflated.
Of course. In a very, very rare case, some of the mRNA vaccines can cause a self-limiting, almost invariably benign, inflammatory response in the heart, which generally resolves in a very short period of time. It is very, very rare. When you compare that with the negative effects on the heart, by myocarditis or pericarditis, which is inflammation of either the heart muscle or the covering of the heart, and heart failure and heart medical problems, overwhelmingly, COVID itself causes that in a dramatically higher rate than the relatively benign, mild myocarditis that you might have with a vaccine, which is very, very rare.
Oh,
okay.
Is that right?
But we can now say, I mean, How can I say this? Because the vaccine, as it relates to contracting COVID, you know what I'm trying to say, because we're on YouTube,
I want to say, like, to say it is, like, the word breakthrough. It's like the Princess Bride. You keep using that word breakthrough case, but I don't think it means what you think it means, because they're trying to say the same thing. Like, it was a breakthrough case with the vaccines,
right,
and now it's another, now it's a breakthrough case if it's myocarditis.
Right. And the testing, the PRR test that we went through in detail last week, you can find that on Rumble, because that was also data that is not welcome on certain platforms that we stream on. And we just went through CDC data that showed that they knew that the risk of myocarditis was actually not minor. It had a ratio that we go over, that they were looking for anything. Why are you doing this? You don't want me to say these things?
No, I do. I'm just going to say, like, but yes, I'm pointing to what's Dr. Peter McCullough in this next thing. If you want to go to it, you can.
No, you go to it. Sorry.
So, someone's wound a little.
I'm not wound up, but when you
I'm
do
just
this,
pointing so
while
you can,
I'm talking,
if you wanna,
I feel like I'm saying something wrong. So
no,
I'll
you're saying
you.
Exactly what Peter McCullough is saying here. So I was going to say, if you want to go to it, feel free to go to it. Dr. Okay. Peter McCullough out today with this article on post-injection myocarditis. So here it is. If you can take a look at this. Explosive increase in cardiac symptoms after a second injection. So to your point, that's why my little hand gesture,
okay,
was teeing it up for you. Like, I was like Major Garrett teeing it up for you, like Dr. Fauci, like, here you go. Here you go. It's right here in front of you. Take it. Take it.
It was like,
well, just as a quick aside, I have to say, I love the fact that when somebody's in the background doing hand gestures and the other person is like, I don't understand your secret hand gestures. Like, okay.
I cannot play it cool.
Like, it's not
when
something,
he's like,
it's
going
not something
like
you're
this,
supposed to yell
like,
out.
What is it you want me to do? Or if he kicks me under the table,
why
sometimes,
are you winking at me?
I can't keep going with it.
Like, it's not like Costanza. I have like a grapefruit in my eye. Like, why are you winking at me? No, it's the grapefruit. I've been blinking all day. So Dr. Peter McCullough out today with this article on the exact thing that we're just talking about, which is explosive increase in cardiac symptoms after the second injection. He said, I said on national TV throughout COVID-19 vaccine campaign that no young person should receive this because the risks far outweigh the benefits. And a new published report where both cardiac symptoms and ECG changes were recorded after the first and second injections. The results are alarming. To your point, after the second injection of mRNA, 17% of students reported cardiovascular symptoms. So that is not very rare, Dr. Fauci.
No, in fact, the CDC's own data had the PRR score of myocarditis at 3.31 starting December of 2020, when anything over 2 normally is cause for further research. You know, Philip just sent an article, circulated it on our team last week, about one of the first like real scientific articles about the causation or the causal link between the COVID vaccine and myocarditis. But it's only recently that we got anything like this, even though the CDC's own data shows that they were tracking this starting in December of 2020. They knew.
Yeah, exactly. And so what is he scared of? What is he scared of here? The clear suppression of.
Well, he's acting not scared.
Well, I don't know. I think by going out and doing these interviews, clearly this is a PR campaign. Like, he gets on with his favorite network, CBS. He's done so many interviews with Martha Raddatz.
Right, and I highly object to the way that journalist asks. Like, there seems to be a tiny shred, like,
that's what I'm saying. He's laying it out on a platter
about myocarditis. Well, you can read up on it too. He's like, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to do any journalistic digging here.
Right.
People are saying it, like, it's blowing in the wind.
Right.
You know, you can't give him some hard data to react to.
No.
Such as the one that we read, that's all publicly available for all of us.
I watched the whole hour long interview, and a lot of people in the chat are saying, like, please, I could never watch an hour of that little squeaky monkey. But I did, and it was awful. And Major Garrett, like, he spends like this first 1 minute of the interview, he's like, you know, doc, I got to say, I was watching the NFL game, the Buffalo Bills game, and I just, you know, sometimes, and then I just jumped over to Twitter to see what conspiracy theories would unfold right after he falls flat on the field. And it was only about 20 minutes or so before I started seeing all of the misinformation flowing in, basically on
what
on
we vaccine. Don't have any information.
Right.
We do not have information about that person's health.
Right. So he was walking in there with his bias, teeing it up for Fauci. Here's my bias on this. Like, how do you handle all of this misinformation? You're such a god. Mm. You're such an amazing person.
Must be really hard to be you.
So we knew in January that the Biden administration was actively trying to silence people on social media. This was before we even knew about the pandemic. And this was January, a month and a half to 2 months before we even had widespread panic about it. We knew that there was clear suppression of early treatments had already been proven to work. Those were being suppressed by the Biden administration. So maybe that's what he's scared of. The communication between the Biden administration, we saw a report today that the Biden administration was actively trying to silence Tucker Carlson for his aversion to the vaccines and talking about that early on. So the Biden administration was actively trying to censor Tucker Carlson on Facebook and block Facebook posts from his show. So this is, again, what will we see in these Fauci files? It's hard to say. We will be watching for them.
We just got a super chat that says we shouldn't fight over Fauci. Like, this should not be the reason we have marital discord. Can you imagine people, like, why'd you get a divorce? Fauci?
Fauci?
Well,
how did you get a divorce? Fauci. Okay.
Can I want to bring something up. I've been very active on Twitter since all this has been going down, and I saw an ad from HHS.gov. And it says, even if your COVID symptoms are mild, talk to a doctor about treatment. We can do this. Get to the doctor. And it's the CDC. And I tweeted out, how much of our money is the U.S. government spending to be the marketing arm of Big Pharma? And I asked Elon Musk, maybe we should do a poll and see how many of us want to fund propaganda. Because it's like they're spending our money to keep advertising this, saying the opposite of what all the data is showing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this big, huge campaign. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, this is happening worldwide.
Stop?
No, it's not going to stop.
Worldwide.
This is happening worldwide. And a little bit later in the show, when we move over to Rumble later tonight, we're going to talk about what's going on in Australia and the government there spending taxpayer money, and the United States and in the UK spending the people's money on these advertising campaigns. I mean, do you remember when they had Elmo on Sesame Street? Like,
yes.
public broadcasting, or funded in part by taxpayers to have Elmo. You know, on there, getting a shot. Bless you. Sound like Elmo.
Sorry.
So, meanwhile, we have a bombshell story from the San Francisco Standard. Doctors and physicians who were pushing masking, COVID lockdowns, and the experimental vaccines on Twitter during the pandemic were actually part of a network of fake accounts. This story is unbelievable. An amazing story by the San Francisco Standard that has this expose shows that a number of these fake LGBTQ doctor accounts were nothing more than bots pushing the establishment COVID narratives. And I love that they weren't just random fake doctors. The bots had to be LGBTQ doctors?
Because that's the moral authority that we all listen to.
I guess to try to make it more real somehow. I don't even know
what
the
thought
process.
They can probably get the left on tweet campaigns over that, you know, because it's LGBTQ. We got to help them. We got to fight. Share this.
So, you know, these bot doctors talking about how they had like their spouse had a heart attack and so forth. Well, it turns out that a lot of those accounts were totally fake. And the doctors themselves never existed. And you can't even make this up. This is unbelievable. So here is the San Francisco Standard story. These doctors pushed masking COVID lockdowns on Twitter. Turns out they don't exist.
Hmm.
Here's just a few examples of, we'll kind of go through this story here. So I'm just going to read from this because it's so good. Last month, Dr. Robert Honeyman, that's his name, lost their sister to COVID. They say. They wrote about it on Twitter and received dozens of condolences, over 4,000 retweets, 43,000 likes. Exactly 1 month later, on December 12th, Honeyman wrote that another tragedy had befallen their family. Sad to announce that my husband has entered a coma after being in hospital with COVID. The doctor is unsure if he will come out, they tweeted. This year has been the toughest of my life, losing my sister to this virus. This is the first time in my life I don't see light at the end of the tunnel. Again, the condolences, the well wishes rolled in. But there's a problem. Honeyman wasn't a real human being. He was supposed to be a transgender doctor of sociology and feminist studies. He wasn't real at all. In fact, here is the photo. Here's Dr. Honeyman. It was fake. His Twitter photo had been stolen from an insurance company professional website in Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you wanted, it's simple to find him. If you go to Google and you do search for smiling, happy, handsome Latino man, you can find a stock photo of the guy.
Is that you calling him handsome in Google search?
No, this is...
If I had a nickel for every time I searched for that on Google.
Smiling, happy, handsome Latino man. That's not in my Google search results. That's how he comes up. If you're looking for... If you need that for your stock photo...
You're going to get that guy.
Among multiple fake doctor accounts, the accounts urged extreme caution about COVID-19. They were a part of a network, they write, of at least four fake accounts that touted their ties to the LGBTQ+ community and vocally advocated for mask wearing, social distancing, dished out criticism to those who they felt were not taking the pandemic seriously. The fake doctors were uncovered by Joshua Gutterman, a self-described gay writer pursuing a master's of fine arts. He saw Robert Honeyman's tweet about their husband being in a coma, noticed people he followed also followed them, and he thought they may be part of the community. But after 10 minutes of Googling, he figured that Robert Honeyman's photo was a stock image and their biography was stretched the boundaries of believability. And basically, like, all of these fake accounts are out there pushing this COVID narrative, all of these bots.
What Michael Schellenberger calls COVIDism.
COVIDism.
It's basically, you know, sort of the woke presentation of COVID that, you know, you should wear 8 masks at a time and have a booster. I even saw a conversation in response to something that the CDC posted today where someone was like, okay, I had my bivalent booster the minute it was available. When can I get my next one? Is it too soon now? And I'm like, who's asking this? You don't have a doctor to ask. You're asking on Twitter? That is COVIDism.
That sounds totally fake. Like,
it does.
Well, and you know, it's funny you're pointing out what these bots are saying. If you follow like people like Rob Reiner, Mark Ruffalo, like some of these Hollywood people, they're saying the exact same thing these bots are saying.
Yeah, and they'll retweet these bots, and this is how it goes. So I want to know like who's behind this, because there's apparently a couple, there's a bunch of these different bot accounts. Some of them have Ukrainian flag pins in their Twitter name, but they're all fake, and they're just pushing. They're pushing all of this, the same narrative across Twitter and in social media. Another account associated with this group, Dr. Gerald Fisher, fake guy, displayed rainbow trans and Ukrainian flags next to his name and described himself as an ally for all in the LGBTQ+ community. Wear a mask, hashtag. His account has now been taken down, but
he sure showed us.
You know, it's amazing. They all had account. They all three of them had created their accounts during the pandemic. So they're brand new accounts. Fisher's account dated to 2019, but his earliest visible tweet was from July of 2022. They also frequently interacted with one another, like commenting back and forth and retweeting each other's fake accounts. Like, we live in some weird matrix. Or outside of the matrix.
It's a simulation.
Yeah, we do. I don't know. You guys have any more thoughts on this?
I mean, it's strange because, well, it's in the same timeline of some of the Department of Defense, fake, foreign accounts
right.
that we know now that the U.S. government uses to sow discord in other countries. You know, it tracks with this timeline. So could it have been U.S. government? Maybe. But it was at the ready pre-pandemic, so that is also super fishy,
right?
So I don't know. There's a lot of questions there.
Some way people track is that you'll always realize that these accounts were set up in either Virginia, like Langley, or Washington. Like, that's usually a pretty good indicator what's going on if they've been created from there.
Yeah, you're right about these. Some of these, like, they came right out of Langley, Virginia. Like, when they found out what their location was, like, really. What did you do today, honey? Well, I created a bunch of fake LGBTQ+ community bot accounts on Twitter.
But LGBT, this has nothing to do with COVID, these are, this is just box ticking now. So this is, we know at least if you want to endear yourself to, you know, sort of right think as opposed to wrong think, these are the things. This Ukraine flag,
yeah.
LGBTQ plus, you know, COVIDism. Like, this is a mindset, a fixed mindset.
I guess they think these are the people that would go out and get like 6 booster shots. Like the people that wear like a Ukrainian flag. They have multiple hashtags in their
but
bio.
But what does it do for someone who might start to ask questions about the COVID narrative? And then you see someone that you think, well, an LGBTQ plus doctor knows what's going on. Plus, I'm super empathetic to this archetype because of the climate of the world right now. So you know what? I'm going to take those questions and just put them in my back pocket for now.
Right.
Well, and I think also if you think about like now, Twitter now, where the right, the conservatives are coming back, think about Twitter during this time. It was far left. It was more left. So they were getting the retweets and stuff. So that became the conversation. So the media would pick it up saying these narratives because these seem to be the predominant narratives, yes, on the platform at the time.
Yeah.
There was no counter narrative.
Mean Raccoon in our Rumble chat says the accounts are Langley cadets earning CIA credits.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know what? They probably also, I would have to just, knowing what it takes to manage social media, they've probably got some kind of system that's tied to these platforms that lets them create multiple accounts in mass. And then just like program them to send out certain things at certain times. They've probably got some intricate system that does this for them. There's no way that this is like one person, you know, sitting in Langley at their office, like setting this up.
Like
I wouldn't think.
Like storyboarding someone's life.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah, exactly.
That is what the Graphica report said that the CIA and the Central Intelligence did actually do. Was storyboard people and sort of do a little, you know, sowing discord against the regime. And also, here's a recipe for tabbouleh or what have you, right? And so they were in fact trying to create a holistic person that never existed.
Well, and I don't know if you guys have seen the technology with AI right now, but I've been messing a lot with like Midjourney and this new AI technology. You can actually go in and create a person that doesn't exist so easily now that looks real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
So, you know, yeah, and so these profile images and stuff, they're going to be like, oh, we can't be using stock photos anymore. Now we can create our own. So just know that, like, as this AI technology advances, the government will be using it,
sure,
and getting more access than we do.
I have plans to use it so I can take a day off. So yeah. You might be hosting the show. You might
with
not even know.
With your clone?
With my clone. You might not even know.
Okay.
Probably will not be as sharp and as
or
funny.
Or it'll just be me. So it'll be Clayton's face, and the mouth will be moving, but it'll sound an awful lot like me. Welcome to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
Like Max Headroom.
Excellent.
And now for something completely different.
Well, we've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about the IRS agents and who they're specifically targeting. This is the first order of business under Kevin McCarthy's new Congress is to get rid of and defund the IRS. Democrats want to defund the police. Republicans hopefully want to defund the IRS. We'll see if that actually happens. We're also going to talk about Australia's COVID numbers and the transgender population census data, all of that coming up. But first, let's tell you about our friends over at Nugenix, because if you feel like it's harder to get in shape, especially the beginning of the year, you've gotten motivated to like, oh my God, I need to lose some weight. I need to get back into the gym routine. I need to lift some weights again and start building up that testosterone in my body. Well, Nugenix Total T is offering a complimentary bottle right now. When you text 231-231 and enter the keyword redacted, you'll get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. So if you're getting older, you know, it's changing your body. Maybe you're getting a little bit of the dad bod, feeling a little less like your old self. You don't have time to work out, but you want energy. You want the body you once had. Nugenix is the way that you can really feel revived and start working out like you used to. If you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. It contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone in men. Nugenics Total T. It boosts the essential free and total testosterone levels that the aging process robs you of. You'll feel stronger, leaner, more energy, more drive. And by the way, it's the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenics Total T can help you re-energize your life, help you get back in the powerful, confident, good-looking warrior that you used to be. And right now, you get a complimentary bottle of Nugenics Total T when you text 231-231 and you enter the keyword redacted. So just get like you're doing a normal text message and you'll get a bottle for free of Nugenics Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. They're going to give it to you for free. Text 231-231, enter the keyword redacted. Again, 231-231, enter the keyword redacted. Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Our thanks to Nugenics.
Can I ask why you kicked me under the table when you said dad bod?
It's just a reaction.
Okay.
Just my knee.
That was your dog.
What's amazing is I'm thousands of miles away from you, so... You know, that's amazing. My ability.
Yeah, it was virtual, but
did that with my mind.
I did that with my mind. That's the AI speaking.
All right. Well, it only took 15 rounds of voting to get Kevin McCarthy elected as Speaker of the House of Representatives. So, you know, I think I can.
About time.
Yeah, it happened. So now there are at least rules and hierarchy in the U.S. Congress. And what will McCarthy set to doing now that he has that gavel? Well, he told us as much. Listen.
I know the night is late, but when we come back, our very first bill will repeal the funding for 87,000 new IRS.
Democrats aren't clapping.
No.
They're asleep. 87,000 IRS agents.
You see, we believe government should be to help you, not go after you.
All right.
But Ukraine needs that money.
Right.
Well,
That's what the Democrats are thinking.
Yeah. This is part of the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed last August, and it was included in the $1.7 trillion for expansion of the IRS. Now, it's funny you see Republicans sort of jumping to their feet in applause because 27 of them actually voted for the omnibus spending package in late December, where much of this money was approved. Still, this is the party line. Right, that this is unnecessary. The IRS should not be beefed up. We don't need this to go after regular people. So what will happen to the IRS now? Well, it's interesting to look at what they've been up to in the last few years to see if they will do more of the same. Now, last year, then IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig told Congress that they were so behind they couldn't even get to their audits. They cashed your checks, though. If you made payments to them, they were on that one. If they owed you something, no, they were super behind. They said they were not collecting revenue. It was a big old mess. Although the data doesn't support that there is a collection problem, here's from economist Carol Roth. She showed us just the receipts versus the outlays for the last 4 years, 5 years here. The IRS clearly does not have a receipts problem. They have an outlay problem. And in fact, when they talk about the percentages of collection, it's usually a very low percentage of non-compliant or non-collected payments. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this means they'll have less to spend on guns. We showed you this calculation back in August from Zero Hedge that told us that the IRS has stockpiled 4,500 guns and 5 million rounds of ammunition in recent years, including 621 shotguns, 539 long barrel rifles and 15 submachine guns. Why do, you know, people who work with calculators and spreadsheets need that? I leave that to you.
Yeah, they don't.
But also this means that the IRS will, if this passes, which is a big if, right? So we're not standing up and cheering that this is happening. It has to get through Congress. Who knows? But this means the IRS will have fewer resources to go after you, the little guy. I'm not calling you little, but most people statistically have a much higher risk of audit than do millionaires. So the University of Syracuse filed a Freedom of Information request to go over the audit data from the IRS. The IRS did not want to do this. They had been asking for it. They asked Commissioner Rettig. They got no response. So they just filed a Freedom of Information request. Here's what they showed. The taxpayer class with unbelievably high audit rates, 5.5 times virtually everyone else, were low-income wage earners taking the earned income tax credit. The credit is provided to offset the taxes for the lowest wage earners in the country. As previously reported, this group of taxpayers have historically been targeted not because they account for the most tax underreporting, but because they are the easiest marks. In an era when the IRS increasingly relies upon correspondent audits, but doesn't have the resources to assist taxpayers or answer their questions. Now, you may recall that last year, President Joe Biden said, we're really going to up our customer service. We're going to make sure that the IRS can, like, take your phone calls or answer questions. That hasn't happened at all. What they mean here by correspondent audits is that the IRS just sends a letter. They kind of spam you, for lack of a better word. They send you a letter saying, what about this stuff? Or we want more information about this. Wealthy people, by and large, one of my favorite podcasts is the Wealthability Podcast with Tom Wheelwright. And he talks about how wealthy people are not afraid of audits. They are out in front of their tax strategy. They study tax avoidance, not tax evasion. And they're sort of ready. They operate as if they will be audited. So they're ready for any shot across the bow.
To be fair, that's because they can afford... that they can afford to hire people to do all that for them. It's like the poor people can't afford to hire accountants and all this other stuff to take care of that. So they're taking it to H&R Block and things like that. And they're not going to be focused on tax avoidance, where these rich people can pay people a lot of money, attorneys and all this other stuff, to make sure they can avoid every single dollar that they'd have to.
Well, I don't like the phrasing that they can, but I don't dispute that they do, because, you know, we were paying high taxes, but we didn't have a lot of dispensable income. What's the word I'm looking for? Expendable income. And so I went to the library and read these books, these like tax strategy books. So anybody can do it, but you have to sort of take the time to figure it out, figure out what is the best tax strategy. It took us years to hire Tom Wheelwright before because I was studying this. So it's accessible to most people, but like in this economy, who wants to study these kind of things? It tends to be wealthy people who are putting a lot more, who are hiring others to do it. Yes, we all could do it if we wanted to study
I guess, yeah, if you could. It's incredibly difficult. Like, you know, that's why people go to school for this, and then you hire.
But this is why people like Tom Wheelwright write these books for us, because if we don't have, let's say, Deloitte, you know, forecasting our taxes for the next 5 years and helping us to avoid taxes, then we can do it ourselves. It's just, it's a big study. I'm going on a tangent.
Yeah.
You have to have a base level analytic mind, though, I think, to do that. Like, I doing that research on numbers and all this other stuff, I mean, I know I could. At the end of the day, I know I could, but I think that that's the thing. It's like, where do you even start? The IRS doesn't give you any kind of guideline on, okay, start here. Like, let us help you try to avoid paying us more. Like,
well, you start with the Wealthability podcast. So these things are available to everybody. That's why, like, I believe in Tom's mission to bring these to people who don't have expensive tax planning. But nevertheless, this is what happens, is that wealthy people have, ironclad tax strategies, and the IRS doesn't want to go up against them. They want to go up against the least prepared. And so they will do these correspondent audits by just sending out mailers, and the poorest among us will get scared and just either try and come up with the money, or, you know, they can bully them into getting more out of them. And so here is a chart that shows us the lowest income wage earners is the dark orange here versus everybody else. Now, this includes middle class and millionaires and above, right? So the lowest income wage earners with anti-poverty earned income credit, meaning they're that low. Look at their risk of audit comparatively. Like they said in this, it's over 5 times as high. So you're way more likely to get audited if you're low income than any other group. So this line we get from politicians that we want more millionaires to pay up their fair share, that's total BS. Although this study did show that millionaires were slightly more likely to get correspondent audits, up 2.8% from the previous year.
And what's so frustrating about it is when you have these audits, again, to David's point, you're not going to fight, you know, you're going to say pay this penalty because they're not going to go and hire a lawyer to try to fight a $1,500 penalty or some $1,700 penalty. They're just going to suck it up and they're going to have to pay for it. And I think that's largely why they go after these people. They go after them because they know there's not going to be a fight.
I mean, I think that $1,500 would probably be the non-payable. Like, if you're that low income, you can't just soak it up. But there's a threshold that they'll ask you for maybe a couple hundred here or there. So they literally can milk the poorest among us. Now, even when millionaires get correspondent audits, that does not mean they pay up. It just means they start to dance. Like, oh, you want some information? I'm ready for this. Here's this, here's that. Although in recent times, and we do have high quality tax strategy and people working for us who do our taxes. And even they say there was something, our most recent tax payment was misapplied and then we had to correspond with the IRS and they're like, I won't get them on the phone. Like we can send letters and they will respond to letters. But even the best of us, they just said, it's not going to happen.
No, because we've waited hours on the phone trying to get them on the phone. And you just can't.
What they do now is they hang up on you.
And they hired thousands upon. So they hire 87,000 IRS agents to come after you, but they don't hire phone staff or support to help you.
Right.
Like they'll go after you, but they won't help you.
It was like 8% or something like that of the money went to that, I think, to the customer experience.
Good memory.
I can't remember the percentage, but it was like a really low percentage.
Yeah. See, you say you couldn't do your own taxes because you're not good with numbers, but see, you remembered.
Yes. Well,
I mean, memory is different.
Now, here's the rate of audits for millionaires over the last 10 years, because this is clearly what Elizabeth Warren wants. Going up slightly, what's interesting is look at the rate of audits in the 2012, 2013, like during the Obama years, they were high. Millionaires were getting audited. And then look at how it just sort of plummeted.
During the Trump years.
I wouldn't even call that during the Trump year. I guess it starts to precipitously fall during the Trump years, and then slowly make its way back up. So, I mean, this
chart trend line
clearly shows you that it's a partisan issue.
Yeah. I mean, the trend line was already going down even under Obama. That 2015 was a blip on that radar, but you could definitely see the trend line going down under Obama already. Yeah. From 2012 down, and then 2015 was a blip year for whatever reason. But the trend line was already going down,
right,
regardless of who was president.
Yeah. So this is an interesting Syracuse program called TRAC, T-R-A-C. And it's interesting to just kind of poke around because their big thing is they want transparency out of the IRS, transparency that the IRS does not want to give them. And so they are calling for more published data. And we'll see if we get that now that we might get a budget haircut from this new Congress. Maybe we'll get even less data. But, this does not prove the point that they're going after the wealthy 1%. They're not. Hmm.
I mean, it's so sad because, again, these are the people that can't afford to fight it and they will just have to take it, bend over and take it.
Yeah.
And this was the threat. We knew, and this was the warning, when they were going to hire these 87,000 new agents, we knew, based on the data, that they were not going to be used to go collect from scofflaws, tax scofflaws, who are like hiding money in offshore accounts, like the Sam Bankman-Frieds of the world, right?
Say that they're going to start tracking microtransactions, that was even a bigger tell, because these billionaires aren't making microtransactions on Venmo and stuff like that. That's us.
Right. Yeah. You're going to pay your babysitter with $500, whatever it is going to be. Like, that's who they're going after in this stuff.
And remember that the data we just showed you was for correspondent audits. That's not even actual audits where they're really, doing a proper audit and you get an IRS agent assigned. But those numbers sort of track. The correspondence audits, though, seem to have a pretty good, like, click-through rate, like send out some stuff, get some good stuff back. If you ignore that, that might be a red flag. And then they start coming after you a little bit more aggressively. But they're sort of starting with this flyer campaign, just like, let's scare some people into sending us some extra tax. That's a Gestapo move.
Yeah. So we're sitting here waiting on, go ahead, Phil.
Oh, I was gonna say, it's a good example of how like unbelievably expensive it is to be poor. And yeah. I mean, it's not just in like that you don't have money, but like everything about being impoverished is more expensive because of that. And so now it's like, right. Are the people they want to go after.
Yeah.
Like, look at interest rates for poor people. Like, the worse your credit, the higher your interest rate on anything you buy. So it's like, how can we make it even worse for you? It's like, yeah, so like maybe they could pay their loans if they got the same, like interest rate should be the same across the board, 2-3% or whatever like that. But those people are sometimes paying 30-40% on things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you understand that it's about control, right? When you understand that, when the government can have you under their boot and controlling you, then you're compliant, right? They can give you a bank account. They can roll out like a blockchain. They can roll out their own digital currency. They can dole out money to you on your credit card.
Yeah.
That you have your social credit score. So they know how much you're traveling. All of this is related to that. And so they can control you. They keep the masses controlled and compliant and giving you money.
Yeah. If you like thinking about tax planning like I do, listen to the Wealth Ability podcast. Tom Wilbright is a friend of ours. He does say that you should not be auto enrolling in direct deposit for either paying your taxes or getting refunds, even though that makes it a lot more tedious because then you have to wait for a check in the mail. But do you want the government to know your banking information where they can just sort of reach in? I don't do that.
No way.
And yeah, I'm a hard no on this. I understand that some people want their refunds a little bit faster. But that's the risk you take. And if Tom says not to do it, I'm not about to do that.
Well, we've got more news to get to here. Yes, we are seeing some COVID files dropping, but they're not the Fauci files. And we're still wondering where these Fauci files are. Jordan Satchel is an independent journalist saying the same thing. Like, we've been waiting on this. Like, what's going on here on these Fauci files? We don't have them yet. We're waiting on them. So we're getting little COVID drops and stuff. We'll bring you the full very latest on that. We've got more news to get to here. And we're going to talk about the Australian COVID data in just a moment, because we're going to move over to Rumble exclusively and to talk about the transgender population census data over on Rumble, because we really can't talk about a lot of this stuff on YouTube.
All right. But first, we'd like to tell you about our friends over at Bank on Yourself. Now, you know, if you watch commercials, let's say during a golf tournament or what have you, you know that a lot of those financial commercials would have you sort of be brainwashed into believing that the only way to grow your money for retirement is to risk it in the stock market or partner with the government to invest in the stock market via your retirement accounts. But that's not true. You can actually reach your financial goals and dreams without taking any unnecessary risks. Do you want to really control your retirement money? Well, if you have a 401k or an IRA, you don't. The government controls it. They decide how much you can borrow and when you pay it back, and you'll owe taxes and penalties for taking money out too soon, or even when you take it out at full maturity, you pay taxes on it if it's not a Roth, even though it's your money. And thanks to our skyrocketing national debt and a Congress that continues to spend like a drunken sailor, we just showed you that in the last segment, who knows how much you'll have to pay in taxes during a retirement that could last 30 years. That's why Bank on Yourself is a better way to grow and protect your hard-earned money. The retirement plan alternative has never had a losing year in over 160 years. It's guaranteed predictable growth and retirement income with no luck, skill, or guesswork required. Your plan doesn't go backwards when the markets tumble. Both your principal and growth are locked in, and it's tax-free retirement income. So get a free report with all of the details at bankonyourself.com/redacted. That's bankonyourself.com/redacted. Now, again, we are not financial advisors. We are financial book junkies. And this is a strategy that we have followed for a very long time. So check it out for yourself. bankonyourself.com/redacted.
All right, everyone. So we are going to move over to Rumble right now because we have to for some, and plus because we want to. We have to. We have to and we want to. So if you please come over to rumble.com/redacted is how you can follow us on Rumble. The live stream will continue on Rumble right now as we cover these Australian COVID data. We're going to bring you the latest on that. It's shocking, shocking numbers. And we're going to cover the latest transgender census data as well. And we're going to kibitz and talk a little bit. So come on over to Rumble. Again, rumble.com/redacted is the place to go. We have to say goodbye to our YouTube audience now because YouTube, you know what they do. So, and yes, Rumble has made huge updates to their interface over the past last week. They announced a huge new update on Rumble. So again, come on over, check out everything Rumble's doing and give us a follow on there. We're almost at 200,000 subscribers over on Rumble now, which is great. So again, rumble.com/redacted. Bye, YouTube.
Thanks, everybody.